the Rosman Experience with your host, Rick Rosman. For the past 32 years, Rick has been a well-known name in the world of finance. He continues to follow his passion for volunteering and working with charitable and nonprofit organizations. His dedication to education and the youth of the Los Angeles area knows no bounds. He loves his work and strives every day to make a difference in the world. We invite you into the Rosman Experience to enjoy Rick and his many guests who will be bringing you their stories of philanthropy and volunteerism and introducing you to the many ways you can become involved in your community. It's time for your host, Rick Rosman.
This is Rick Rosman on the Rosman Experience coming to you on another Sunday. This one's delayed broadcast, but coming to you on another Sunday at 4 o'clock as we always do on the EasyWayBroadcasting.com. That's the Rosman Experience on the EasyWayBroadcasting.com. Every Sunday we bring to you someone that's making a difference in the world, someone that is really out there doing extraordinary things among the poor, among the marginalized, among those that do not have a voice. We bring a nonprofit on every week to tell their story, and also the person usually running that nonprofit who has given up their life and given of themselves in order to make a difference in the society in which we live. For it's in giving that we receive. We charge nothing for the nonprofit to be on, and there's no commercial for anything on this call at all, on this interview. We don't have a commercial, and we charge nothing. To follow it on the blog, you go to rickrosman.com, rickrosman.com, and this thing will be archived. This show will be archived. Let me backtrack and tell a little bit about myself before I introduce a guest. Sheila and I are married, live in Redondo Beach. We are right now in pursuit of a medical degree for Sheila. She went back to school and picked up a degree in immunology and genetics over at UCLA, taking the MCAT, and we're going through that exercise right now, which is quite frustrating for those of you who know about that. We're on and serve approximately 6 boards: AC Green Youth Foundation, the Academy of Business Leadership, stepsforeducation.org, Academy of Business Leadership, Jefferson High School, Chip Murray social Justice Program, and we also are involved in a number of charities, including Long Beach Miller, including ShareFest, including South Bay Healthcare. The list goes on. But what the message is, ladies and gentlemen, is not so much to tell you, gee whiz, look what they do. Not easy to talk about. It's easy, but what we're trying to do is motivate people to get involved and make a difference. Here we are. March is over on the 31st. March is over. One-third of the year is done, and what have we done in order to make a difference? What have we done to give back? At the beginning of the year, many of us had goals. Oh, maybe I'll go down and mentor a kid. Maybe I'll go down and work a food bank. Maybe I'll go help someone. Even visit a senior citizen home where some of the senior citizens haven't had visitors in years. One-third of the year is done. One-fourth of the year is done, and have we done that? Time, talent, and treasure. We are entrusted with all three of those. Believe it or not, time will run out. Treasure is not going to go with us. We can't take it with us. And talent, what's the story of the talents in the Bible? If you don't use them, you lose them. And I'm sure out there in the sound of my voice, there's people out there that got the time, got the talent. I'm sure there's retired school teachers and retired engineers who get involved and who have the treasure. And that's important for the nonprofits in today's space. Treasure is important, and there's so much need. And so the stock market's been up. You can donate to a nonprofit. It's still tax-deductible. As long as you have documentation, you can still do it. I'm a financial advisor. I've been for over 35 years. That's one thing that's still there. Cash donations are 100% tax-deductible. And the nonprofit will give you a letter. Today, in honor of Easter And the fact that I'm going to be at a monastery on Easter Sunday, we're doing a delayed broadcast on this, which will be broadcast on Easter Sunday. Today, in honor of Easter, we have an absolute rock star on with us in the nonprofit that he is involved in. He is the pastor, his father, Paul Spellman, he's the pastor of Holy Name Jesus Catholic School and Church in South Central. And Holy Name serves the community that they are, that they're in, and there's many, many folks there. If they don't get a private school education, chances are in the public school education, the dropout rate is close to 60-65%. I know because I'm involved with schools in South Central. I know what the dropout rate is. At Holy Name of Jesus and other schools like them in the parochial space, 100% of the kids are close, finish high school, and many of them go on, and most go on to college. Father Paul is special. I believe, and I may have this wrong, he's going to correct me, he was an accountant before he became a priest, and he had a calling to be a priest, and he ends up at Holy Name of Jesus, which is in South Central, which is not exactly the place where you would expect, you know, the great things, and he's doing great things there. And without further ado, I will bring on Father Paul to tell his story about Holy Name of Jesus and what's going on and the difference he's making in the lives of the flock that he serves. Father Paul, how are you?
Great. I'm doing well, Richard. Thank you so much for inviting me to be on your program today. We've talked about it a couple of times, and I think this is great what you're doing, and I look forward to sharing my thoughts and ideas.
Well, first of all, Father Paul, can you tell us, with Easter approaching and, you know, new life and resurrection and spring and all of the metaphors that all brings, you know, can you tell us about what's going on at Holy Name and what's going on new down there and, you know, how you guys are progressing?
You know, this Holy Week, beginning on Palm Sunday, this past Sunday, and going up through this coming Sunday of Easter Sunday, is such a powerful time in our church, because we remember on Palm Sunday, Jesus went through the streets of Jerusalem. The people were waving the palm branches, saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest." And then during the week, he gives us Holy Communion for the first time. But then there are people who turn on him, and they turn to violence, and they turn to a horrible death that he suffered. But his death did not end his life. His death culminated in his resurrection. And that's one of the messages that we're really trying to bring here in the inner city, that yes, there is still violence in the world. 2,000 years later, there's still horrible death. But at the same time, there's that message of resurrection, because we look at the potential in each child in our school, we look at the potential in each family in our community, and say we do not have to have our lives ruled by violence. We can recognize that message of resurrection that our Lord Jesus has brought us.
Amen, Father. You could tell that you're really, really walk the talk. How, going back in your life, you were accountant in the beginning. How did you, what calling and when did you get the calling to become a priest, and how did you end up at Holy Name?
You know, Richard, it's really interesting, because when I was in college, I was looking around at the other people and seeing what they were majoring in, and to be honest with you, the accounting majors were getting all the job offers. That's how I decided to major in accounting. Got a job with Pricewaterhouse in Century City, got my CPA, went to USC and got an MBA, a Master's in Business Administration with an emphasis in finance, and my goal was to be a chief financial officer. I went on to work for a company called Kidder Peabody, an investment firm that was bought out by Payne Weber, who's been bought out by UBS, Union Bank of Switzerland. And what I found is that I'm a very analytical person. I like working with numbers, and I saw all that was really a great future economically, but I really wasn't fulfilled. And during that time, I started volunteering in the Catholic Chaplains Program at Central Juvenile Hall in East Los Angeles, dealing with a lot of marginalized kids, kids who had been arrested. They're all under 18. They're at Juvenile Hall just sitting there waiting to go to court or waiting for placement or youth authority or possibly adult prison. And it was a real life-changing experience. And I thought, wow, this is great. I can have my job, I can have my house, and I can serve the Lord. But the more I kept serving the Lord, the more I kept saying, God is calling me to something deeper, maybe even committing my entire life to serving God. So believe it or not, at age 40, I went to the chief financial officer at the company I was working for and told him, I'm leaving. I'm not going to work for a competitor. I'm not leaving because I'm unhappy. I just feel that God is calling me to something else. And he was very supportive, and he said, you know what, go for it and keep us posted. We're very anxious to hear how it works out. So I spent 6 years at St. John's Seminary in Camarillo studying the Bible, studying the teachings of our Lord and Savior, got ordained in 2001, and then was assigned to Our Lady of the Assumption Church in Claremont, which is in the eastern part of Los Angeles County. Had a great experience there as an associate pastor, which means I was reporting to a pastor. And then after 4 years, they said, we think you're ready to be a pastor, and we've got an opening in South Central Los Angeles. And I said, tell me about Holy Name of Jesus Church. I'm very interested. And they said, it's 80% African American, 20% Hispanic, dynamic gospel choir, great sense of the Holy Spirit in the church. You're going to have a great experience there. It's in a marginalized economic neighborhood. There are challenges here with gangs and drugs, but wonderful people. And I said a special prayer, and I said, Lord, I'm ready for this. I'm going for it. And that's how I ended up here.
What year was that?
That was in 2005 that I came here, and I'm now finishing my 8th year as the pastor here.
Oh, wow. All of that. So you had all the trappings. You were in Century City.
Yep.
Where you saw the wealth, CPA
yes.
with Price. Lehman Brothers and all that, so you saw that that's the industry I'm in. I mean, you can see the easy money, and of course, money can marginalize one soul very quickly. And at 40, what, did he hit you on the head or did he tap you on the shoulder?
You know, it was probably a little bit of a combination of both. I had an opportunity to go to the Holy Land of Israel, where I'd never been before, and I traveled with a group of Franciscan priests, and I remember during that journey really saying a lot of time in prayer and asking the Lord, can you help me see my life, what direction you want to take me, and what you really feel my purpose in life is. And when I came back to Los Angeles, I was a parishioner at American Martyrs Church in Manhattan Beach, and I was 39, and I was president of the 30-something group, because I still barely made it as 30-something, and we did a slideshow presentation, and in the bulletin, one of the sisters in the vocations office, kind of like the recruiting office for the Archdiocese, put in a notice for an organization called Vocations Anonymous for the call that won't go away. And I looked at that, Richard, and I said, I wonder if that's possibly me. And I met with Sister Kathleen Bryant. Her father had been one of the partners in Bateman Eichler Hill Richards. He was part of one of the owners in the pantry. She had grown up in Newport Beach, had this great lifestyle and everything, and decided to become a nun and spent 8 years in Tanzania working with the Bush people there. And I thought, wow, this is a real possibility. I might actually be able to do this. And I took it to prayer and just took it a step at a time from there.
Was there, and this is more curiosity than anything else,
sure.
And I'm sure some listeners would have that, was there any, when you knocked on the door at age 40, did they kind of, the church authorities look at you with sort of, usually we see folks in their 20s, or
right,
and did you have to do any, was there anything special, hoops that you had to jump through to prove to them that, hey, you know what, I'm the real deal?
No, not at all, which was a real blessing. And when I was there, there were about 115 seminarians there, and four or five of them were actually older than I. So I wasn't the oldest guy there. I thought, yay, there are actually people older than I here. And it was interesting just hearing different people's experiences. And there were four other CPAs in the seminary when I was there, and they're all priests in the Archdiocese now. And it was really interesting because you think, wow, we're going to have a meeting of all the CPAs at the seminary. Wait a second, that doesn't make sense. But we had guys from Arthur Anderson, two guys from Price Waterhouse, a guy from Ernst & Young, and it was really interesting that we all felt the call, the same call, in just a different way.
Maybe that's the answer for the church and vocations. Have everyone go work for the CPA firms and they get a calling. I say that as a joke.
Yeah, Richard, between you and me, I've told the vocations office that more than once. Go to the CPA firms. There you're going to find people.
By the way, this weekend we visit the Abbey of the Holy Trinity, which is up in Huntsville, Utah. Father Dave Altman was an accountant, accounting major out of USC. And now he's a Trappist monk. So there is some truth to that. Okay.
Exactly. We've had lawyers ordained. We've had a number of engineers. We've had a number of people with various different backgrounds. And I think a lot of us grow up with that idea of, what do I want to major in school? What is going to get me the best job? What's going to get me the best opportunity? And we work hard at it. And then we find, well, wait a second. God's calling me in another direction. And it's never too late to turn to the Lord.
No, it is not. Now, Father, coming to Holy Name of Jesus when you did 8 years ago, how was, sort of walk us through what you saw coming from the trappings of Century City and Lehman and Payne Webber and UBS, and seeing, okay, obviously the neighborhoods you were in, you mentioned American Martyrs. I happen to know that parish well.
Uh-huh.
The children there at American Martyrs would never, ever dream of what I'm going to say next. They, you know, I'm going to have to worry about a drive-by shooting. I'm going to have to worry about a heroin addict next door who's selling drugs.
Yep.
I'm not going to have to worry about the crack cocaine or all the crazy things or my mom and dad in jail. The communities are so different, even though they're 20 miles apart. How did you see Holy Name of Jesus when you first got there? And were you overwhelmed, or did you just say, wow?
I would say overwhelmed is probably an understatement, because I remember meeting with one of the children in the school, and this was a second or third grader, and they talked about how they put their mattresses on the floor at night to sleep in. And I thought, why do you put your mattress on the floor? And they said, our mom doesn't want us anywhere near the window because there have been bullets coming into windows in the neighbor's house. And I thought, a second or third grader should not be ever thinking about where to put their mattress in order to avoid bullets coming in their bedroom window. And when I heard that, I was just blown away. A number of significant things like that have happened, where I've talked to kids where they've had real horrible experiences in the neighborhood, where they've been witnesses to violence, and they've seen, you know, very horrible things happen. And I thought, gosh, this didn't happen in Manhattan Beach. It didn't happen in Claremont. But yet it's part of the life in the inner city, and it's something that we're looking at and saying there's a cycle of poverty here and a cycle of violence. How are we going to break that? And a lot of people have come up with a lot of ideas, and my belief is through spirituality and education. If you give a child a great sense of spirituality and they know that God has a plan for them in their life and that they are called to follow God's will as it is in the Bible, they will do much better. And if they have a solid education, that will open up so many things for them other than the drugs and the gangs and the violence. And they'll be able to say, you know what, I can work in one of those buildings in Century City or downtown L.A. I know I can do it.
But Father Paul, having some experience in South Central, where some of the high schools actually, and this one is so unbelievable, in 21st century America, some of the high schools in the tough areas, whether it's Oakland, Philadelphia, L.A., Detroit, high schools cannot have their football games. The varsity, which we all remember, Friday Night Lights, communities get together behind, and they all go to the high school football game. Some schools in South Central, some schools in the Bronx, some schools in those other neighborhoods have their games on Thursday afternoons at 4 because of the gang violence.
Isn't this amazing? Because you look at the idea and it says we've got to do it at a time where there's going to be the lowest risk of violence. And you think, what is the message that young people are growing up with when decisions like that are being made in their lives? It's unbelievable.
Well, what was the first task that you thought would change? I don't know. I'm not going to ask you to grade the predecessor at Holy Name. But what was your first task, and how has the last 8 years progressed, and sort of give us an update as to, you know, what rate of kids went on to high school, or how many kids finished, if you tracked it, and how are you doing now?
Sure. Let me first tell you, my predecessor was a priest, Father Greg Chisholm, and Father Chisholm was a 6'5" African-American Jesuit, and he was a dynamic preacher that walked up and down the middle aisle in the church, waving his arms and proclaiming the gospel message, and I looked at him and I said, how am I ever going to replace this guy? And somebody said, you know what? Be yourself. If you try and be a Father Chisholm, people are going to look at you and just shake their heads and say, what is this kid doing? And I didn't. I just said, you know what? This is who I am, and I'm going to be honest to myself, and the people embraced me so warmly. I've learned so much. One of the things I found in the African-American community is a real dedication to the Bible. And in a lot of churches, we said, oh, yes, we have Bible readings and everything. But here at Holy Name of Jesus, there are Bible studies, and we do a journey through the Bible where we meet with parishioners, and we've literally gone through the entire Bible. It took us about 5 years to do it, and now we started over again. But the deep love of Scripture was something that I really have experienced that's been a real positive. But like I said, when my predecessor left, and you know, as I said, he was a Jesuit, and our new Pope Francis is a Jesuit, and they're the academics of the world, and I thought, gosh, here's this African-American, dynamic preacher, a Jesuit with all these degrees from MIT, and here I am coming in here replacing him. But everybody said to me, he said, just be yourself. Don't try and be something you're not. And I've used that example with the children in the school. I said, you're going to be graduating from eighth grade, and you're going to be going to Loyola High School, Notre Dame Academy, St. Mary's Academy, Verbum Dei. You're going to be going to some excellent schools. Be yourself. Just be true to who you are.
Wow. All right, what's going on? I know there's a lot of projects up there, and you've been there 8 years. What's going on at Holy Name today? How many kids are there? Do you have room for more? Budgets? Tell us, give us a rundown of, you know, what's going on.
We have about 190 children in our school right now, and we have a capacity of about 270. So we have about 80 empty desks. And that has been a real problem for us because that's 80 children who would benefit from a strong faith-based Catholic education that are not getting it. So what we did is we put together a pastor scholarship program, and I've worked with a number of people on that, and what we have said to the members of our church community, no child is turned away for lack of ability to pay. And we have them fill out a financial form that's done through the Catholic Education Foundation where they can apply for scholarships through the Catholic Education Foundation, and then we have the pastor scholarship. Because my feeling is every time I walk into a classroom and even see one empty desk, I know that's a child who's not getting a great Catholic education. Now, in this economy, I know with your background, you probably know this as well as anybody, in the last 6 years, this economy has had a huge adverse effect, particularly in the inner city. So many people have lost their jobs, so many people have lost their homes, and then when you ask them to pay tuition, they kind of look at you like, where do you think we're getting that kind of money? And there's so many people who say, well, wait a second, the recession's over. The Dow Jones Industrial Average hit an all-time high last week. Well, yes, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is doing well, but I also look at the unemployment rate, and particularly the unemployment rate here in the inner city, and that's a big challenge that we face. But we have so many wonderful kids in our school, great kids who are going on to these high schools that I mentioned. Loyola Marymount University over in West LA did an analysis a couple of years ago, and they looked at inner city children who went to Catholic schools, graduated from eighth grade, and then went on to high school. And they said of the ones who went to Catholic grade school and then on to Catholic high school, 98% of them went on to college.
Oh, my God.
98%. I was floored when I saw that, and I thought, that is unbelievable, because you made reference a minute ago to some of the graduation rates at some of our local high schools.
Yeah.
Our local high schools have less than half of their ninth graders finishing with a degree in 4 years to be 12th grade.
Yeah.
And what happens when you don't graduate from high school? It's tragic, the lack of opportunity for these children.
Well, it starts there. And having been involved in South Central with some of the schools, I'm not going to name names, it's been
right.
a mind-boggling eye-opener that you kind of go, wow. Is
exactly.
This for real in 21st century America? And it's not just here, Father Paul. You multiply it by Oakland. You multiply it by
Vermont, yes.
and Philadelphia. And there's a whole generation of inner-city school students who are just not getting a bite of the apple. They're not even
That's
getting
right.
a plate.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What projects are you undergoing now, and what's on your plate?
Well, one of the things that we started a couple of years ago was an accelerated reading program, and we have found that reading is such a critical element for an education in a child, and we have done this through a computer program where the children check out the books, and then they take an online exam, and then the classes compete with each other to see how many books they've read or how many words they've read or whatever, but you don't get credit unless you pass the exam. You can't just come in and say, oh, yeah, I read the book. No, you've got to be able to pass the exam knowing that you read the book and really understand what is in the book, which is huge. This year, we got a grant from a family to do an accelerated math program. And as a former accountant, I'm going to tell you, I was dancing in the streets when we got that, because reading and math are the two things that are really going to help children advance. If you can't read, you're not going to do well in world history. If you can't do math, you're not going to be able to do chemistry or physics or algebra or any of those other subjects. So math and reading are so important that we are blessed to have this accelerated math program and the accelerated reading program. The other thing that we're looking at, and I'm sure this is probably going to sound redundant, but is the area of technology. The technology is growing so fast right now, and we have smart boards in two of our classrooms right now where the teachers can actually connect right into the Internet, show it right on the board in front of everybody, and the kids who are so familiar with technology and the Internet and everything are just soaking this up like sponges. And as you know, if you're not current in technology, you're not going to make it in this world today, and that's a huge issue that we're really working on.
What are the struggles? Okay, you're talking about some of the success. What's the biggest struggle or some of the struggles, Father, that you as the overseer, you're overlooking all these kids, you see the need, you're keeping it all together. You got to, first of all, when you have teachers, you got to have benefits and employees, you got to pay them, you got to have the maintenance staff, you got to pay the housekeeper for the
right.
whatever else is out there. What is your... You know, how are you holding all that together? What's your How do you struggle with all of that? You must go 24/7.
Oh, it's unbelievable. And a lot of times we'll get to the end of the month and we said, oh, my goodness, we barely made it this month. And then somebody comes up with a generous donation, or a family that's way behind on tuition, all of a sudden they get a job and they're able to start getting caught up on tuition. But, yeah, it's a huge issue. And particularly as a former CPA, I probably spend more time worrying about the numbers than a lot of other pastors do. But I've seen enough companies that have a great idea and a great product but don't have the financing to be able to make it go, and then the business ends up failing. And I thought, no, we can't do that in our Catholic schools. We've got to be able to take a look at our budgets. We've got to take a look at what's actuals for last year and the projections for this year and see what we can do on that. And that's one of the things where I feel really thankful that I have the accounting background that I have.
Does the diocese, and these are just questions that I think our listeners have. By the way, listeners, this is not a live show, so we don't call in when you hear us, because normally Father Paul on Sunday we get call-ins. It's not a live show, so you're not going to get anyone. But I'll ask some of the questions here. Father, what about, does the diocese support, what kind of support do you get from the diocese?
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. The Archdiocese of Los Angeles has a program called the Bishop's Annual Appeal. It's better known as Together in Mission. And
right.
Every parish in the Archdiocese is given a goal based on their annual collections, and they're given a year to raise that money. And all of that money goes to 35 parishes and 47 schools that are struggling financially. Our school gets $35,000 each year from Together in Mission through the generosity of people at American Martyrs in Manhattan Beach, St. James, St. John Fisher, all the parishes in the Archdiocese participate, and we are very blessed to have that. Last year, Together in Mission came to us and said, you know, we got a special grant here. Is there anything that you really need done? And I said, we have this old, ugly chain link fence around our school that has holes in it, that is rusted. The curb appeal is terrible, and the security is almost non-existent. And Together in Mission gave us a grant to be able to have a brand new wrought iron fence put all around our school property. It looks great, and the parents have said, you know, I feel so much more secure with our children being in this yard area now as opposed to when that old chain link fence there. That was a real big thing. The other thing is the Catholic Education Foundation that was set up by the Archdiocese a number of years ago that provides scholarships to low-income children. And last year, out of our 190 students, almost half of them were getting some sort of scholarship from the Catholic Education Foundation. And that's a real blessing, because without Catholic Education Foundation and without Together in Mission, it would be difficult to be able to pay our bills. We do get a couple of grants from some foundations that we've had long-time relationships with, and we are very blessed with those. And just anything like that with the pastor scholarship or anything that we can work on to be able to bring children in our school and keep them has been a real blessing to us.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you have, you know, under 200 and you have room for more.
Mm-hmm.
Is that because of funding, that if you had the funding you could serve more, or is that because lack of applicants? Or
I think it's the funding situation, because we have a lot of families that call in and they say, hey, we've driven by your school. We see the big sign out front that says all are welcome. We understand you have a fabulous music program where every child in the school learns to play the piano, and then once they get to fifth grade, they can either move on to wind instruments or stringed instruments. And all of this is great. And then they ask the question, well, how much is your tuition? And we tell them what the tuition is, and then we start to explain to them about the scholarship programs. But as soon as they hear the amount of the tuition, then it's like, okay, well, we'll get back to you. And I say, no way, at least give us a phone number, give us an email, give us some way to be in contact with you, because that's a big challenge that we're facing right now when they're saying, you know, we'll have to get back to you. And I said, no, please at least come in and talk to us. Let's see what we can work out. Because like I said, no child is turned away for lack of ability to pay.
Okay. Now, Father, tell us a little bit about maybe a success story, some family that came to you maybe in the last year or so, and the child was X in regards to their previous life at the previous school or whatever, and now that they're at Holy Name, how they make the adjustment and how are they fitting in. And you know, when you come from sometimes the inner city mentality,
uh-huh.
And we've seen it, Father. Well, like for instance, there's some of the high schools in South Central actually have a golf team. We send those golfers to a major golf tournament at a major, like Trump or something like that, or Riviera, and they're so out of the hood.
Uh-huh.
So they're thinking that they're, you know, it completely disorients them.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
So how, you are providing that right in their neighborhood, is that these kids come in and they're used to low expectation, they're used to really no expectation.
Uh-huh.
How do they handle the transition?
You know, it's a big thing, because the transition, you know, particularly from another school into our school, can be a challenge for some of them, because our behavior standards are very high, and that's a challenge where a lot of kids have been in schools where they're just basically anything goes, and we have kids that misbehave. We deal with it right away. We let them know that bullying is not tolerated here. We let them know that, you know, talking back to the teachers is unacceptable. And for a lot of them, it takes a little while for them to get adjusted to it. But I think of a success story we have. When I first got here 8 years ago, a woman came to me and she said, "Father, I've got a son who's going into second grade. The kindergarten experience just wasn't good. The first grade experience wasn't good. And I really want to have him in Holy Name of Jesus School, but we just can't afford the tuition." And I said, "Why don't you come in and meet with me on Monday morning? Why don't you come in at 9 o'clock? And she said, "Father, I'm relying on the bus. I don't own a car, and I can get there at 8:30 or 9:30, but I can't get there at 9. And I said, "You tell me what's best for you, 8:30 or 9:30. I met with her. Her son was a fine young man. Last month, or in January, he came to me and asked me if I would write him a letter of recommendation for Loyola High School. That shows what has happened in the last 7 years with this young man. And
wow.
I thought, gosh, you know, when he's looking at Loyola High School, Santa Monica High School, Verbum Dei, the girls, a lot of them go to Notre Dame Academy and St. Mary's Academy. And then you look at the list of colleges that those students go on to. We have one of our students who graduated 4 years ago from our eighth grade. His mom actually works part-time in our office here, and she told me last night that he has been accepted at USC, Loyola Marymount, and Syracuse.
Syracuse, oh, my God, an Orangeman.
Exactly, uh-huh, right. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
We have a couple of our students that I'm still in contact with, you know, that were in the eighth grade 4 years ago, that are now seniors in high school. One of them is waiting for a letter from Cornell. One of them has applied to the Berklee School of Music in Boston. A number of them have applied to UCLA and USC and Stanford and Cal. I mean, they have a great future ahead of them.
And that's because, Father, we know when you use the expression "mind the gap" for the subway system in London.
Uh-huh.
You're standing in the gap and basically making a stand and saying, "No, this is the way it was done, and this is the change that we're bringing to these folks, to these families who have had, you know, let's face it, it is a really rough time for the kids to be raised in the inner city. With the drive-bys, like you mentioned, with the little family there who had to sleep on the mattresses. I mean, Father, what a story!
Yep.
You know, my kids never had to do that. My kids, it was expected. You know, if one of them came home and ever told me, you know, that, "Well, I don't think I'm going to go to college," we're not having that conversation. And
right.
All of mine went.
Exactly.
And it was an expectation to excel, and it was an expectation. Yes, you will get a job, and yes, you will. You know, you'll be a mature tax-paying citizen, and you will be law-abiding, and you will be a contributor to society. That's the way the most kids are raised. And then when you look at the other experience, when I've given speeches down in South Central, and I remember one time a young girl came up to me, and she goes, "You really believe that stuff?" And she goes, "Look, my mom's a drug addict. My dad's dead, and my brother was shot in a drive-by, and he's a cripple." And I looked at this little girl who was 14 years old. I'm thinking, what can I say to her?
Exactly.
That I can't identify, and that's where the Father Pauls come in the Holy Name of Jesus.
Absolutely.
Now, what is it that you – okay, we talked about time, talent, and treasure.
Mm-hmm.
People can give anything. What is it – what is your wish list and your need list? If someone listening to this show on the Rosin Experience, and they hear this, they hear the story – what is it that you would want them to do? How would they contact you? Is there a website? Go through how the needs, time, talent, and treasure, and how folks could get involved.
Absolutely. The first thing I would tell you is just Google us, Holy Name of Jesus School in Los Angeles, and we'll show up right there as the first one. We have a website for both the church and the school, and it will give you much more information about the school, our faculty, and our programs and everything. So I would invite you to do that. The second thing, and I know a lot of people hear this from priests, but we really need prayers. Prayer is a powerful thing in our world, particularly here in the inner city, as we pray for our children and our teachers and our principal. The third thing I would say is to take a look at what gifts you have that you can share. Because like I said, when we got the grant for the accelerated math program, it was from a family that really has an interest in math and a real interest in educating children. We have a number of people who volunteer as tutors, and people said, you know, I have worked in finance or I've worked in medicine or science and technology or something, and I'm at the point now where I've got some discretionary time, and I really think I could spend some time with these students. Because a lot of times when a successful adult shows an interest in a child in the inner city, the child looks at him and says, wow, you really have confidence in me. You really believe in me. We had a gentleman who came into our school to visit a couple of months ago, and he went to the eighth graders, and he said, what year will you graduate from college? And the kids all kind of like looked at each other, and they said, well, this is 2013. We'll graduate from high school in 2017, so we'll graduate from college in 2021. And then later on, I saw the kids at lunch, and they looked at me, and he says, that man really believes we're going to graduate from college. And I said, and so do I.
Yes, yes.
You know, that's what we've got to instill within these kids of, you know, not just what are you going to do for the summer or what are your plans, you know, for the weekend. What year are you going to graduate from college? And let them know that we have that belief in them.
Father, that is an incredible story, is that the human experience where we are on the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, where survival is taken care of for most of us, where security is taken care of for most of us, our bank accounts are bigger. We can't take it with us. We have how many homes can people own? I don't want to get involved and down and judge, but when there is such need and such lack among a high proportion of our society, and unfortunately, and I'm in this business and I see the statistics. The haves and have not gap is widening.
It is definitely widening.
And and whether we want to admit it or not, or put our head in the sand, society cannot go forward until somehow that gap closes, and it can close many different ways, but the way you're doing it is that you're offering and showing and inviting and giving these children such a break where, and like the starfish story, where the grandfather and the grandson, everybody's heard this cliche, they're walking along the seashore after a big storm, and a lot of starfish have been washed ashore. And then the little boy was picking up a starfish because the starfish, they will die if they're out of water for a while. And it was a violent storm, so they're way past high tide. So this little boy is picking up starfish and putting them in the water. And the grandfather said, you know, grandson, you know, there's so many of them. You can't possibly make a difference. And the little boy picked up one starfish, put it in the water. He goes, Grandpa, so this starfish, it's all the difference in the world.
That's right. That is exactly right.
Mm-hmm. That's you.
Yep.
What other needs do you have at the present time? Is there any, if you had an unlimited, okay, let's say somebody came along and gave you X amount of dollars or something, what is it that you would do with it that you could say, my God, if I had X, I'd have 100 more kids in this place or whatever?
I would say the two things that I would look at would be providing scholarships so that every child who wanted to be here and the family wanted them here could be here. And the second thing would be to do more of the smart boards and the other technology things in the other classrooms, because this technology is racing ahead so fast. And as I've said before, if you don't stay current on what's happening in the technological world, you're going to get left behind. And that's a huge area that we're really working on with our kids. So I would say scholarships and technology would be the two things that I would really look at.
Okay. Now, this is going to sound self-serving in regards to, and also they say what you give, you're supposed to give in private. However, Father Paul so inspired Sheila and I that we personally gave a sizable check to Holy Name of Jesus in order to support what Father Paul and the work of the school. And we are just, I urge you, ladies and gentlemen, that if you go down there, take a tour and let Father Paul show you around, you're just going to shake your head and say, how do I get involved? Because in seeing is believing is that you can hear the story until you witness it and you feel it. And then, and you guys did a trick on me, is that I didn't know I was going to be speaking to the kids, and all of a sudden I was told by Ron Crimmins, he said, you're going to go down and you're going to talk to, when I got there, he goes, by the way, you're up next. I go, for what? I go, about what?
Right, exactly.
It was the highlight of my life, and when I went home, my wife told me to give a sizable check, and I cut her in half, and she reminds me about cutting it in half. And so, hopefully we'll make up for that. But Father, if someone wanted a tour of the school or visit you, can they contact you directly?
They can contact me in the school or the parish office. I'm going to go ahead and give the phone number. I don't know if anybody has a pen, but you can always Google us. But it's 323-734-8888, extension 1. My name is Father Paul Spellman. I'm the pastor. Anybody who wants to take a tour of our school and meet our kids, you are more than welcome. And you will see kids that have a bright, great future ahead of them. You will see kids that really, you know, come from very difficult situations, sometimes very challenging home situations, I hate to say, but they are the future of the world. And, Rick, I remember when you came here and we walked around and those kids were answering your questions and everything, and then you called me the next day and said, hey, I want to make a donation. I thought, wow, that's great. And, you know, a lot of people say, hey, great, well, you know, here's $25 for Christmas or $50 or something like that. When I saw your check, I just was glad I was sitting down, because otherwise I would have fallen over. And I really want to thank you and all your listeners for taking the time to hear the story of Holy Name of Jesus Church and School.
Now, Father, we're going to close up here, but one thing, and I don't mean to patronize you with what I'm going to say next, but in society and in the world, there are certain people that are admired. Mother Teresa, Mahatma Gandhi, Albert Schweitzer, Martin Luther King, and one of the things that is we all have in common with those great people that we remember is 24 hours in the day. They have the same 24 hours
yep.
as we do, and they said yes to the divine. Father Paul said yes to the divine. He is now in Holy Name of Jesus. Believe me, ladies and gentlemen, he's an accountant. He knows where every dime goes down there. Every dime goes to exactly where it's supposed to go. And on the Easy Way Broadcast and Rosin Experience, every charity that we bring to you is basically a place that you can feel comfortable investing your hard-earned time, talent, and treasure. And so, again, Father Paul, can you tell listeners how to find you, phone number, and the website?
Okay. We're at Holy Name of Jesus School, and the address is 1955 West Jefferson Boulevard. We're between Arlington and Western on the north side of the street. Our phone number is 323-734-8888, extension 1. And I invite you to just Google Holy Name of Jesus Church or Holy Name of Jesus School in Los Angeles, and it will pop right up there. We do have websites for both the church and the school. And when you go on the school website, you will see a lot of great programs.
Father Paul, thank you so much for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, again, this is another hour on the Rosman Experience. This one is tape delayed, so when you hear it on Sunday, ladies and gentlemen, don't call in. Call Father Paul down at Holy Name if you want to call somebody to make a difference. Father, we love the work you're doing. We admire the work you're doing. We pray for the work you're doing. We pray for the success of the work you're doing. At this Easter time, let people awaken to the need of their fellow human beings. In regards to, we mentioned the gap between the haves and have-nots.
Yep.
When I took those high school kids to Trump or to Riviera, maybe less than 0.5% of the population of the world would ever have an experience like that, let alone an inner city kid.
Exactly.
And Father Paul, you are preparing the next generation, and I'm sure every one of those kids, and I remember when I was down there, I said, you know, 20 years from now, I want to see somebody out there. I want to see doctor, lawyer, senator, judge, CEO, whatever.
Yep.
And I know they're going to do it. So, Father Paul, God bless you. God bless you during this Easter season. Will you? I think we have you scheduled in the middle of April back on for a regular show with call-ins.
Yes, that would be great. I would love to come into your studio and just pick up some calls on the phone and answer questions, because I know a lot of people have lots of questions about what's going on in the inner city, particularly in our faith-based schools and communities, and I'd be more than happy to do that.
Father Paul, God bless you in this Easter season. God bless the work you do. And we'll see you soon, okay?
Sounds great, Richard. Thank you so much for having me on my show. And as I say to all your listeners, have a blessed Easter, a blessed holy time of year, regardless of your faith tradition, because we continue to recognize that the essence of God is the essence of God is love.
God bless you, Father.
God bless you. Thanks so much.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it. We That's what the Rosman Experience is all about on the EasyWayBroadcasting.com. You can find me on RickRosman.com, RickRosman1.com, on Facebook, LinkedIn. We're there. We've got the blogs. Every week we bring a tremendous story, a story that is heartbreaking, a story that means something, a story that can change people's lives. Father Paul is in the gap. Father Paul is down in South Central. Father Paul is making a difference. And did you hear the story about all the kids that are going on to college? Is that in itself, I mean, when I heard about the one who's going to Syracuse, I don't know if a child from the L.A. area going to Syracuse and having 20 feet of snow is going to be an interesting experience, but to be exposed and to be accepted to schools like that, that's what Father Paul, and can you imagine after they come out of a school like that, they are going to be part of the solution. They won't be part of the issue that's going on where it may be, and maybe they will go back and help someone else. The whole purpose of the Rosman Experience is to bring folks like Father Paul out there, folks like Father Paul to be have the flashlight, so to speak, the spotlight, and talk about how to get involved. Next week we have another great show. We're going to have the Osmoa Foundation back on. We have our gala coming up for the Osmoa Foundation coming up on April 13th. So Dr. Lillian will be there. Their work in Africa with the AIDS and the widows of the AIDS epidemic is huge. And that's what we bring to the Rosman Experience, whether it's inner city, whether it's something international, whether it's abused kids, whether it's cancer kids. That's what it's all about. And ladies and gentlemen, here we are, like I said at the beginning of the show, one-fourth of the year is gone. What have you done to make a difference in the lives of someone else? In the old story, and go look up the dash, on a tombstone is the date of birth and date of death. And right between it's the dash. What did you do with your dash, ladies and gentlemen? How did you spend it? At your funeral, what will the legacy be? Will it be, gosh, that person was a great person who gave back and made a difference? Or was it all about the cars and the houses and everything else and the accumulation for what? Because remember, when we die, we can't take it with us. It's going to be dispersed anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. Have a blessed Easter season. As I said at the beginning, this is a delayed broadcast. I will be at a monastery, and you can go to my blog, Rick Rosman 1, the Abbey of the Holy Trinity in Huntsville, Utah, where, ironically, the abbot is an accountant. Abbot Dave Altman came out of USC and ended up as a Trappist Cistercian monk, which is a Benedictine order, and they have a wonderful monastery up in Huntsville, Utah, and every Easter I try to get up there to be involved with the Easter tradition with these wonderful human beings, and most of them are in their 80s and have been priests and brothers for 50 and 60 years. So it's a very peaceful place. God bless you all. Remember to make a difference today. Start today. What are you going to do to make a difference in the world? You heard it. I'm going to do another commercial for Father Paul. Go to Holy Name of Jesus on the website. He's making a difference. Call him. Get a tour. That's what I did. And Sheila and I wrote a large check. And that's just because I went down there and I came home and I was crying because I saw what was going on. That can happen to you. Be inspired. Make a difference. God bless you all this Easter season. We'll come to you the following Sunday with the Osmoa Foundation. And God bless you all. Take care. And this is it for another Rosman Experience on the EasyWayBroadcasting.com. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.